Making buttons is something I can do when super high.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk with our friend Nathan Gerber. He was raised both Jewish and Lutheran, and now he's an atheist. Go figure.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. We are live at the Phoenix Theater. Recording our second episode with our friend, Nate Gerber.
Hello.
And I'm going to introduce my hosts now, who I forgot to introduce because I don't care about them.
God damn it, Nick Glover.
She doesn't care about me.
And Tim Wick.
There's no reason to care about me.
Yeah, mixing up the order because I can do what I want. So we are here to talk to Nate about growing up with two different religious households kind of fighting over you.
Yeah, it's fun.
Nate is a member of Wise Fools Improv.
The award-winning
Wise Fools Improv, Fearless Comedy Productions, and also you are one of the two people in Doom Kitten, correct?
Yep, Doom Kitten and Dog Bones.
You are Doom Kitten.
I am Doom Kitten.
That's nice.
I'm also in Vilification Tennis.
What? Oh, right. I forgot about that one.
I know a lot of people do.
I hear they're awful.
They're terrible. But so we actually, you know, you and Nick and I were talking backstage at the Renaissance Festival, and we were talking about religion and upbringing, and you mentioned how you were raised, and we want to talk to you. So please, tell the listeners your story, Nate Gerber.
So my parents, as I understand it, were basically atheists. Oh, by the way, parents, specifically my mom, you can stop listening now.
Probably for the best.
Yeah.
love you.
Dad, Stephen, if for some odd reason you're listening, I don't give a fuck. my parents were basically atheists until they got divorced when I was three. Then suddenly religion became a huge part of everything because with courts, you can fight over custody of your children with religious holidays. So they would stick it to each other with...
What religions were your parents?
Specifically, my mother was Lutheran, and my father is Jewish.
Okay.
And it really also became much more important when they both remarried as well. My dad didn't really care about Judaism nor practiced it very much until he married a Jewish woman.
And so they, when they had their, because this happened to my father too, when he remarried the woman, you know, that he cheated on my mom with, they became born again Christians, and suddenly that was their whole thing, you know, as a way of bringing us, my brother, me and my brother back and forth. So what sorts of, do you remember anything, because you were what, 4 or 5 when this really was starting to
All actuality, I didn't think anything of it at the time because it was just the way life was. This is my experience every day. We'd go to church on Sundays when I was with my mother, synagogue on Saturdays when I was with my dad. I didn't get really involved in any of it because none of it was engaging in any way to me. The reading I had at home was much more exciting than the Torah or the Bible.
Less violent, too.
Maybe less misogynist. I see, so you were reading Wheel of Time. So, I mean, did you, you know, one of the things you mentioned when we were talking was that you didn't really know a lot about some of the Jewish rules.
Yeah, I knew nothing about Judaism. If you've ever been to the service at a synagogue, it's mostly all in, it is in Hebrew.
Yeah.
And I didn't learn Hebrew, ever.
So they didn't send you, they didn't try to send you to Hebrew school or anything like that?
They did. That comes up later.
Okay.
But as a child growing up, it made no sense to me. We ate pepperoni pizza at home. My dad was a huge fan of salami.
No, it's good to laugh at
that. Dick jokes again.
And one day someone was like, "Hey, you're Jewish, right?" And I was like, "Eh." And they were like, yeah, you can't eat that. And I was like, fuck you, I can't. I'm going to be a vegetarian later, and I'm going to enjoy the crap out of this. Because I knew back then.
You knew?
No.
You just knew that someday you were going to be insufferable.
Yeah. Don't eat that in front of me. Ew.
Many Bothans died to bring you that feast.
Yes. You can't eat that. People of any religion telling you what you can and can't do because of their religious rules is funny to me. I had a thing at work. There was an act coming through at a theater, and someone someone was upset that they're playing on Yom Kippur, even though the show was at like 8 p.m. and Yom Kippur ends at sundown, so technically the show is in the clear.
Yep.
But we got some complaints from a few Jewish individuals saying that, like, how can they do this to us? We want to go. This is discrimination because they're choosing. Why are you making them perform on Yom Kippur? We're a rental venue. They buy the theater to play when they want to play on their tour that they arrange. Mm-hmm. But there are people that were very, very upset that they couldn't attend because of their choice to be adherent to their religion. And we're upset that other people were going to go and enjoy it on their day, their holiday.
Jeez.
Do you feel like, so with Judaism specifically, there's a strong ethnic component versus just the religious component. Do you identify at all with the ethnic component of it?
So that's the really important part that I wanted to talk about today. The only reason why I identify with Judaism at all is for two reasons. One, it's funny. And...
Historically, that's true.
Yes. Jews are funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And two, because I've been attacked physically twice for acknowledging my Judaism.
Jewish heritage.
My heritage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In school or as an adult?
One was in school, one was as an adult.
What?
So in grade school in Eagan, Minnesota, I sat next to a kid who would... basically talk about how much he hated black people and Hispanics all day long. That's
fucking
all he did.
Egan.
Yeah.
The worst place.
And I listened to this for months, and one day he's like, the only people I hate more than black people are Jews. And that's when I went, well. And immediately after class that day, he like threw me... tripped me onto the floor and started punching me in the chest.
Wow!
Did he happen to say, like, why he hated Jews?
I'm sure, maybe. Yeah.
But, like,
I
mean, he didn't have any sound reasons, right?
It was grade
right?
school. No. He hated, like, Jews because his parents hated
yeah.
Jews.
I mean, he wasn't a Jew killed my father or something, right. Like...
He hated Jews because he was being raised by horrible people.
Yeah, for sure.
I gotta apologize to Egan. I got it confused with Anoka.
Oh, yeah.
So, sorry, Egan, you're fine.
Actually, yeah. No, don't apologize. Because if I had stayed in Egan... and graduated in high school, there was an incident where people were putting up swastikas in the bathrooms.
What? At the Egan High School?
At the Egan High School.
I think you know one of the people who was doing that.
Yeah, it might have been him. If he made it through school. Who knows? He wasn't on a good track already, so.
Yeah, this bathroom is on board with Hitler. Like, you can only shit here if you're in the master race. Like, it's such a weird...
Blue-eyed. I can do this.
Like, I don't know why, this bathroom is down with the master race. Like, and not, like, I don't know, a good part of the school or something. Just, like, the worst-smelling part of the school is, like, Hitler. That's...
Shit for Hitler. All right, so you said then you were beaten up as an adult?
Yeah. No,
I wasn't beaten up. I got attacked.
Attacked, okay.
I have won every fight I knew was happening.
Note to self. All right.
I was at a bar, I think it was shortly after college. Some skinheads were being very vocal about their beliefs.
Sharps.
We know what you mean. You're good.
And it, I was young and full of myself, and I had to correct everybody. Hey, I'm Jewish. You got a problem with that? And of course they did. And then
shocking. It's like their whole MO.
it's pretty much their life.
Were you at Gastoff's?
No. I didn't even know.
Were,
I used to go to that
place. You were in Northeast,
place.
Though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you were in Northeast. Yeah.
And it did not well end for the two guys, but yeah.
You killed them?
No. You knifed him?
Yeah.
This is back in the day.
They got divorced.
The cops. The Star of David into their foreheads.
You nailed him to a cross like you did to Jesus.
Their kids got cancer.
Specifically that. From
awesome.
From my Judaism. And I didn't approve their loans either.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, wow. Fuck them. They'll never make it in Hollywood.
So this is that comedy aspect you were talking about.
Yes.
Here is the, okay.
But yeah, it was surreal in that people still think that and talk like that. And the yeah. denialists with the Holocaust and all of that stuff. It's super yeah. crazy. On the other side of things, I also have some kind of fanatical family members. I'm not going to point out anyone specific. One of them, when I was 16...
It's you, Cousin Bob. Fuck you, Bob.
Yeah.
And Bob approached me and said, I
hate that guy.
You shouldn't talk to Muslims. And I was like, why? Like, 'cause they want to kill you.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that's not true. No, they all want to kill you, and you should want to kill them.
Now, did Bob mean you because you're a Jew, or you because you're not a Muslim?
Me because I'm a Jew.
Interesting. So it was specifically like a religious.
Like, don't you know we hate them and they hate us?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was very much
so. When
that.
You, I mean, there are a lot of Somalis in the Twin Cities. When you walk by them, do they like look at you and say, "I'm going to kill you"?
They do not.
Weird.
It doesn't really come up.
That's weird.
Did you identify yourself as a Jew to them first?
I did not.
Oh.
It wasn't like, you know, cross of, or cross of David, star of David. Jewing it up here.
I do like the idea of a cross of David. Is it like, would it look like the Martell sign where like the cross is going through the star? Like
specifically that.
Did your parents ever acknowledge or accuse the other parent of like, you're really only religious because you want more time?
Oh, they both
with him, or they
yeah.
They both accused each other of what
right.
they were both doing.
Yes,
yeah. So they were aware of the facade the whole time.
Yes, yeah. They were both doing it. At one point, I moved. I left my mom's house, moving with my dad, for a lot of different reasons. And when I did move in with him, he started taking child payments from her because mm-hmm. I had two more years before mm-hmm. I was an adult, and I was like, hey, that stinks, like, didn't you hate paying that? He's like, yeah, like, why would you ask her to pay it then? He's like, oh, because it's owed to me. Well, you don't need the money, like, financially he and his wife are fine, could afford you know, anything for me. Just if there's something comes up and you want her to pitch in, just ask. She's more than happy to help with education, but, you know, he's like, nope, this is how we're doing it. I'm like, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
No, I prefer to do this the bitter way, the hard way.
Yeah. It was definitely that.
So in the interest of fairness, I mm-hmm. feel we talked about the Jewish side, mm-hmm. but you did say before we started, you told your mom specifically not to listen,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
we have not addressed the Lutheran side of the equation.
Like, even a Lutheran stopped listening by now.
Yeah.
So the Lutheran side, Lutherans are boring, and that's
fucking A, they are boring. guys, I was at a Lutheran funeral this weekend, and I wanted to gnaw my leg off. Oh, my God.
Not to get away. You weren't even in a trap. You just wanted to...
Yeah.
I just wanted
something.
To feel
was,
something.
Yeah. They sang... They did three songs, and they were all the same fucking song.
Yeah! The singing is the worst.
Oh, the music in Lutheran...
The bread's pretty bad.
It's all bad.
It's so bad. It is not engaging at all to a child.
I don't know why Lutherans want to go to heaven, because heaven would just be an eternity of that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
But there's, like, really good hot dish.
Is there, though? Because there's also lutefisk.
There's, like, a billion different kinds.
Seriously,
of
after the funeral, there was Jell-O salad in the fucking basement. Jell-O fucking salad.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that bad, you're saying.
I think that's more of a Minnesotan thing, because all the Catholic funerals I went to also had Jell-O salad in the basement. I'm just pointing out.
Another reason why I'm atheist, because I can't eat, or I can't eat Jell-O because I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, oh right, all the hooves.
God.
It's so full of hooves.
It's animal skin, but yes.
It's animal skin? It's not they hooves? Do
make, it's not hooves.
I've been lied to.
You have.
They do I thought make I was enjoying a tasty gelatin, hoof. You know.
They do. I'm sure it tastes wonderful.
All right, anyway.
Where can I get one that's made from hooves? I want
experience. So Lutheran Church was boring.
Lutheran Church is boring. Also, a huge part of religion, I think, for a lot of other, for most people, is the rituals. They find comfort in it. They find a connection with other people, with their families.
Hope.
And our family
optimism.
Rituals were not a source of joy for me.
Did you do Seder, or did you do Christmas Mass? Did
yep.
you, I mean,
yep.
not Mass, but whatever the fuck
whatever.
Lutherans call it. Yeah. Services.
Christmas. Something.
Yeah.
Service.
Service, yeah.
Yeah, probably. A
show up
Easter
to something
service,
really
Christmas
late,
service.
Try to stay awake for it, and not burn your hand on the candles.
Man.
This is really all it was.
Did you have a bar mitzvah?
I went to midnight mass, and I don't remember the candle part.
Did you have a bar mitzvah?
I did not have a bar mitzvah. I did confirmed? Not get confirmed. My family approached me around that age and were like, hey, make a decision. And I was like, Muslim, then we'll cover all the bases. And they
so
said,
you did that?
That
did you
get, was not an option.
Did you get like half a circumcision?
I don't know. I haven't compared. Does this look right?
Does it look
right? You know, Molly.
I have seen one of each.
We'll check later. We'll right. get a final decision on that.
Well,
if it looks like if it looks like E.T., it's a half job. With the hood. When he's in the basket. When he's in the bike basket.
Yeah,
with the hood.
No, we were all right there. We all fixed it. You didn't have a choice but to picture it.
I paint word pictures with my mouth parts.
It's a gift and a curse.
Also, circumcision is really interesting to me. I know a lot of people who are very against circumcision.
Yeah.
And they talk about it being genital mutilation, and I look at my penis and like, it looks pretty unmutilated. That looks awesome. I feel like this could be part of a presentation.
Well, I did claw my cat, so I mean, I'm going to just circumcise any kid I see. So.
Circumcision.
Just walking down the street, flipping a butterfly knife. Like, hey,
that kid's
circumcised.
When we were having kids, a lot of people were like, well, it kind of depends on whether or not the father's been circumcised. And I was circumcised. So we decided to circumcise our kids. And if I had it to do again, I would probably go back and not do it, just because I feel like that maybe should have been a decision I left to them.
But see, what's weird about that whole thing, and that we'll just slightly tangent here, is it's a decision you leave to them until it's at a point where it's far more painful.
Yeah.
So that feels like it's not a decision. That's the other thing you leave to them.
The other thing that came into that was my best friend growing up had a circumcision when he was in his teens because he regularly got infections because of the foreskin. So they were like, well, let's do a circumcision. That should take care of the infections. And it did take care of the infections, but it was horribly painful for like a month. And I was like, well, having had that experience, anyway.
I feel like if you leave the decision to a kid, what you're saying is they're not going to get circumcised, like almost guaranteed, because at what point in a person's life are they ever like, you know what? I think it's time to cut my dick.
Well, and it
like,
won't
no
be.
One,
it,
that's
it's
never
elective,
like a.
It's elective surgery, so it won't be covered by health insurance.
Yeah.
So there's that on top of it. Like, I don't know. It's a weird thing. Fuck having kids.
I don't have an opinion on it. Really.
I will also say that the doctors I work with recommend not doing it. And I generally go with people who are smarter than me.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
On the other hand, none of the numbers I have heard add up. All of my cousins, my brothers, all five of them. Circumcised, and statistically speaking, one of us should have died, and that hasn't happened. So I feel like we're good off. I don't know, maybe not death, but something terrible.
There should be a consequence.
And the things people post is just ridiculous. And that
same with declawing a cat. I don't mean to like reduce it to that, but truly, like we've declawed all three of our cats. They're fine. They're lovely. They're wonderfully.
There are people who are like, if you declaw a cat, you're animal Hitler. You're like the worst person ever.
Animal Hitler.
Like some people. I mean,
concerns about that wording.
Yeah. Some people have very very serious concerns about and strong feelings about people who declaw cats. And
there is, by the way, a whole website. devoted to cats that look like Hitler. I'm just going to point
that out.
That's
true.
No, that's adorable.
I wonder.
I'm cool with
I
that.
I hope some of them have been forced to be declawed.
I don't know why.
So when did you decide, or not decide, but when did you come out to your parents as being a non-believer? When did you stop attending services?
We actually, as a family, stopped attending services when I was in my early teens.
Which family?
This was my mom's side, so okay. The Lutherans. We stopped attending because no one wanted to go. No one was.
Why would you
want
to go?
Yeah.
Why would you want to go to a Lutheran service?
All those reasons.
Yeah.
My
lemon
however,
bars.
When I moved in with my father's family, it became more pronounced. I had to attend service more often, and it didn't matter what I wanted. I had to go and be part of the family.
Yeah, that's my father too.
Yep.
Nick, you can
make
your
own. Did you just stop seeing him, or did you manage to find a way to put your foot down and say, for me, I said, well, then you can physically put me in the car. I weigh 130 pounds and I don't want to go. Good luck.
I moved out when I was 17, so I didn't have to really deal with that for very long.
Okay.
But yeah, and then on my own, I got engaged at a relatively young age to an evangelical lady. Who I'm glad I did not marry because we would have murdered each other.
She was evangelically female.
Yes.
She was fancy.
And I struggled with that for a really long time because religion is very important to her and I wanted to respect that and be part of the important things in her life. But at the same time had to respect myself and my beliefs. And in the end, it was a big part of our undoing was just, I can't go to these services anymore with you. I'm living a lie not only to myself, but to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
we hear that a lot. There's a lot of relationships that break up because of that.
You know some people in successful, happy, mixed marriages, mm-hmm. religious and non-religious, too. But
I do have to say, evangelical services, at least the few that I've been to, super interesting. So
the music is
interesting
really
isn't
good.
Always good, man. Yeah. Interesting is like bad.
I'm not saying there. We were all at that one service together. I mean, there's a lot of horrifying stuff that's going on there. But it and part of the reason I think those mega churches work is they are super interesting. Because Lutheran services are just agonizingly.
Well, they work because of the property of I say hey, you say ho, hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Ho.
See, that's exactly it.
And then they ask for money for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's where I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Well, I have a strong issue with how much you just asked for money. If someone did that to me on the street, I would have walked away from him.
Do you think coming from, I mean, since you lived with your dad, your father's family for a while and everything, do you think coming from, you know, a fairly strong Jewish traditional family, at least even whether or not you believed in it or wanted to participate, has a different coloring of your atheism than someone who came from a Christian slash, I mean, for the three of us, we went pagan for a while, you know, but none of us had any. I had Jewish boyfriends and I was super into it, but it wasn't the same as being.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to talk with more people about it. I've been really private about my life, especially since becoming friends with a lot of you. I've always been private about my life. So I don't really discuss that part because there's a lot more that goes into it. And so I don't know everyone else's experiences. I generally let people have their religion and ask them that they let me not have mine.
Sure.
I would say that it definitely makes me more knowledgeable of where people come from. And that may be my personality already, that I try to find out about people's backgrounds before really making a decision about them. Trying to understand where they come from. Because there's a lot that informs my life.
So you know about Tim's DUI then?
What?
You've investigated his background.
Yeah. No! I know.
Tim looks so confused that I accused him of having a DUI. This is the best.
I know I'm supposed to be doing yes and, but that is like the least believable lie you could have come up with, perhaps.
Yeah,
I mean, what did he get drunk off of?
What didn't he get drunk off of? That's the real question.
I'll tell you what he got drunk off of. Hitting kids.
Yeah.
With his car. With his car. Not like with his fists. Yeah. Come on.
Oh, that makes it better.
It does. The car makes it removed if you
It's impersonal.
You. It's very impersonal. Yeah. It's very impersonal.
He's like,
it's almost like hitting a dog.
Well,
right?
Thank you very much for sharing. You know who?
Yes, and motherfuckers.
You know who didn't hit a dog? Hitler. So that's worse than Hitler.
He probably hit a few German shepherds.
Yeah.
No, probably just couldn't swing a German shepherd in a room without hitting a Jew.
Until he learned that the German shepherds' penises went inside, he just thought they were all breasts.
Oh, do penises not go inside? That's where I've been putting them. Thank you very much for being so open for someone who is private. I appreciate you coming on the show and talking to us. But it's time for five questions.
Five questions.
Let's get super personal. Yeah. Five questions. Question number one, Tim, take it away.
Super personally, what is a movie you will stop and watch anytime it's on?
The Count of Monte Cristo, the newer version.
Ooh.
The one with James
Guy Pearce.
And Guy Pearce.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen it. I don't think I've seen it.
Oh my god.
I'm a fan of the sandwich.
It's what's his name who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ. James
Caviezel.
Whatever.
Caviezel.
Anyway, that's the one.
That movie Jimmy is Easel. Wonderful. I know it's not a great adaptation of the book. I still think it's an amazing movie.
Interesting.
And also Mean Girls for some odd reason.
Yeah, man.
Mean Girls.
There's no odd reason there. That's amazing. No. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Question number two. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
I had to think a really long time about this one. Probably my Neil Gaiman book collection. Ooh. That a lot of them have been signed.
Nice.
He is a really personable, fun person to talk to.
He's really nice.
Yeah.
He's British, isn't he?
Yep. Yeah. And he lives in Wisconsin now?
Just over the border.
Not anymore. Oh. I thought he moved to New York. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
He's been bouncing around between Minnesota and Wisconsin. Now he's out. Okay.
Yeah. I had roommates that worked at Dreamhaven when that was the comic shop in Uptown. And every once in a while, they'd be like, oh, we have a big signing. Can you come in and help us just keep an eye on the shop? Because it'll be busy and there'll be a lot of people there. And we're going to worry about shoplifters and stuff. And so one time I was helping out for a Neil Gaiman signing. And my job that day was just... They printed out these big posters that looked like a Victorian newspaper that was actually a short story written in the form of a newspaper with ads and stuff in there that referenced the story. And so he's signing these big posters and then just handing them to me standing to his left. And all I did was wave them in the air and dry his signature before rolling them up in a tube and handing them back to the person. So I stood next to Neil Gaiman for 3 hours just waving paper in the air, listening to him to say kind things to his fans who are giving them his writing to read and respond to and drooling over him, being very, very flattering. And he's, oh, thank you so much. You're very kind.
He's always struck me as a very, very nice man. He was guest of honor at Convergence 2000, so our second con, and I didn't get to meet him the whole weekend, and I was still running the convention at that point, and it was really important to me to go to our guests and say thank you, I really appreciate that you came here. Mm-hmm. And he was out at the Renaissance Festival the first weekend after that Convergence, and I went up to him and I'm like, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to thank you at the convention. And he was super, super nice about it. He just always really friendly. The other great story about Neil Gaiman is when he was when Lorraine, his personal assistant, played in Bedlam out at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. And he would come and watch her.
Yeah.
He would come and watch her every year. And one of the days that he came and watched her, he came to Mac's Pub. And he's sitting in there and he's watching. And I walked out to the rest of my band at the time. And I was like... Neil Gaiman's in our pub. And one of them is like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, can I go ask him for his autograph? And I said, no. Jesus Christ, let the man enjoy his music.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's
just, he was in Mac's Pub, though.
He was in Mac's Pub, and that was kind of
so
cool.
So, how do you enjoy music in Mac's Pub?
it was Bedlam.
That's true. They did play our wedding.
Oh, yeah, they played our wedding. Yeah. They're all right.
Yeah. All right, question number three. What supernatural, magical, or all-powerful being, deity, whatever, do you wish were real?
The Ancient Ones from H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh,
Jesus. You are a son of a bitch.
I want you all to die.
That's awesome.
Do
you wish them to be slumbering, or do you wish for them to have been awoken?
I'd like them to slumber until I need a hip replacement or a knee replacement, because
then you just want
to
die?
And then I'd like to die, because I really don't want to go through either of those surgeries.
Yeah, fuck modern medicine. Yeah. I'd rather be devoured by a beast.
At that point, I probably can't walk around at the Renaissance Festival anymore or do any of the fun, exciting things.
It's true.
In my life.
It's hard to be in a bird hole when your knees are placed.
Bird holes are... Yeah. They require so much movement.
Inside jokes.
They're hilarious. Question number four. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem that humanity now faces?
Crime. People don't care. There's no afterlife punishment for the things that they do in their everyday life. Atheists can be assholes, and religious people definitely can be assholes. And without some sort of book, you know, word of God keeping them in check, it's all going to go to shit.
I like that answer. We haven't had that before.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I'm also really cynical. So.
Well, we got that by your ancient ones.
I'm not sure I agree, but it's a good answer.
Our last question is, what is your favorite quote?
From the TV show Dinosaurs.
Bitch, if you say not the mama, I'm going to hit you so hard.
Earl Sinclair in one of the last episodes, when they have pretty much brought the world to ruin... says, who would have thought that unleashing the fires of hell on Earth would have been a bad thing? The context being that they've made a bunch of ecological mistakes and now everything's being overrun by plants, so they set off the volcanoes to resolve the issue, and now the world has gone dark and they're all going to die.
And that's
great.
That's how that show ends.
It's the darkest ending of a sitcom ever. Oh my god.
It's kind
of
awesome.
And I can't tell you how many conversations I have with people that I feel like that quote would have been the perfect way to just top it off.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that doing the dumbest thing in the world would have been
a bad idea.
The worst possible solution.
Wow.
So
that's fantastic.
Yeah,
I actually
that's
really
great,
like that. Thank you very much, Nate. If people wanted to find you online, or do you have anything you want to plug?
Well, this is probably going to come out in a little bit, but Klingon Christmas in December at Mounds Theater. Doom Kitten and Dogbone will be continuing to perform. You can probably find that on fearlesscomedyproductions.com or friend me on Facebook. Just send me a message if you're going to do that, if I'm not friends with you already, so that I know why you're friending me. And then Vilification Tennis and throughout Fearless Comedy Productions.
Fantastic.
I do lots of funny things. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming. We are live at the Phoenix Theater. And as always, you can please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And we are Geeks Without God on Patreon. Please consider supporting us there. There's all kinds of neat stuff you can get if you are a supporter. And we'll see you guys next Tuesday.
Ooh.
Bye. Molotov!
We're geeks without God. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
That was edgy.